Good morning. Finally. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll just start with a word of prayer. We want to make sure that we have God's blessing as we share. So if you can adopt a posture of reverence as we pray. Father in heaven, again we're thankful that we have this opportunity. Father, we're thankful for life. We're thankful for everything that you give us, the breath that we have. All these are gifts from you. And as we come this morning and we share your goodness and some of your insights, we just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will rest upon each of our minds and, more importantly, our hearts. And hopefully the prayer is that we can take away something, each one of us can take away something from this presentation to apply in our lives as soon as physically possible. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so just so that we're all aware, I did have up on the screen just my name, Robert Sullivan. It was just a typo. It's myself and my wife.
It's fine.
Yeah, Michelle. So sorry about that. And just so that you're aware, we are coming to you from the United Kingdom. Specifically, we live in Scotland. So if you know anything about the United Kingdom, or if you've been to the United Kingdom, or if you've seen it on a map, we're quite north.
And we're north of Scotland.
North of Scotland, yeah. So that's important because for many of you, if you're thinking of growing or have been growing, you'll know that you really want the optimum sort of temperature,
climate,
conditions, you know, all of that. But having said that, we're in the northern and we're still able to
we're
do...
We're northeast and we can still grow.
And we can still grow.
So that's a blessing.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Okay, so how did we get into farming? Now, okay, yeah, so
wait,
just...
Connection question.
Which is?
Do we assume that everybody here hasn't grown before? Or
has?
Maybe you could raise your hand if you have done some growing.
Oh, never
mind. Oh, okay. All right, okay. Okay,
and raise your hand if you've done no growing at all.
Nothing, man.
You know, little pot plants count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that was myself.
And we assume also that nobody here is actually farming.
Oh, maybe you are.
If you're farming, could you raise your hand?
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like you're actually farming for a living.
Or looking to do
like
that.
A market garden or something like that.
Any size.
Home gardening.
Yeah.
Because we assume that those that have done some gardening probably are home gardening, right?
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yeah. It's just different terminologies.
Just gives us an idea as to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's who?
I want to start a farm.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's my idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're
hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully
yeah.
We can inspire you. But as I said before, it's not a technical. This one is not a technical, like, do it this way and do it that way and buy this equipment and that equipment. This is more about
our story and how
we started that experience. Because, believe it or not, when we started, I had only grown one cherry tomato plant at my windowsill.
Mm.
In fact, it was
indoors.
One of our sons that did that.
Mm.
We produced one cherry tomato. And in an instant, as it blushed.
Mm.
He plucked it. He was 3 years old, and he plucked it from the bush, popped it in his mouth, and it was all over.
Mm.
And that was it. That was our experience of farming. So,
yeah,
that's where we came from.
Yeah,
in the city at the time.
Yeah, no experience, literally.
Yeah.
So the question is, just making sure, why? And without going into too much depth, we did a lot of. Okay, let me backtrack. So, on our Christian walk, we reached a stage where we wanted to get closer to God and actually have more of an experience with God. And in that journey, I remember thinking to myself, well, I know there were a few texts in the Bible that spoke about that God formed us. And before that, he kind of had a plan for each one of us. And that kind of resonated with me because I said to myself, well, if God has a plan for us, and for me specifically, I wonder what that plan is. I mean, I've got my own plan, you know, and at
we
the time...
We have been doing our own plan for many years.
You know, success or not success in, you know, in human eyes, whatever. But as we started taking our walk with the Lord seriously, we were contemplating this. Well, what is it that God would have in store for us specifically? If he's got a plan, what is that plan? And the more we read, actually, I'll go to this. We were looking at, the question was, we were asking ourselves is, what is God's original occupation? He must have one. And he does. And it is agriculture. I mean, we're not going to share, you know, there's so much to share. We're not going to go into that. But we need to give you the backdrop, and it will give you the context for why we then did what we did and why we're here today to be able to share going forward. So did you want to just read
that?
Yeah. Sorry,
so
go ahead.
Small, is that anything?
No, you can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In God's plan for Israel, every family had a home on the land with sufficient ground for tilling. Thus were provided both the means and the incentive for a useful, industrious, and self-supporting life. And this was the part that really got us. Mm. And no devising of men has ever improved upon that plan. Mm. To the world's departure from it is owing, to a large degree, the poverty and wretchedness that exists today.
That's quite deep. I mean, if you think about that, I mean, if you've read it before, fine. But when we read this, this was quite mind-blowing. And as I said, we could share so much, but I'm only just going to share a few just to hopefully highlight and to kind of get you thinking. Because what we're trying to share is that agriculture isn't just something to do. It is God's original plan. So you have to think about where you are with God. Is this something that you want to do, as in you want to do God's will, or you want to maybe dabble in something as a form of a occupation or whatever? And that's fine, because God will take us where he wants to take us. But this is God's plan. There isn't any way around that, which is good.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm the reader, am I?
Just for the next two.
The farmer and his sons have the open book of nature before them, and they should learn that farming is a noble occupation.
Now, that really spoke to me, because I don't know about here in the States, but in the UK, and specifically where we are in Scotland, when you talk, it's farming country where we are. We live in the country. So most of the occupation around us is farming. But when you speak to the farmers, it's not really highly regarded to be, you know, a farmer. What you normally find is it's generational, and the older heads are hanging on, and the younger ones are
leaving,
going to the city, getting the accountancy jobs, doctor job. Nothing wrong with being an accountant or a doctor. I'm just saying this as a, you know. But they're getting other jobs in the city, and they're leaving farming because they don't see it as a lucrative thing. It's not a noble occupation.
Right.
But we have to look through God's eyes, and in God's eyes,
this is how he sees it. And we've actually spoken to some of these farmers, and a lot of them have told us that you know, they really would love to have handed their farm over to their son, but the son's not interested. He's away in Aberdeen in the city, or he's gone to Edinburgh and he's doing something else.
Mm.
And I think what's happening is we're losing this whole noble occupation. We see lawyers as noble, and doctors as noble, and medical and all of these things is noble, but what God is saying actually is agriculture is noble.
That's right.
And it should be up there in our mind's eye as a lawyer and etc., etc.
Well, actually, better than that, and we'll share that.
Do you mind if we leave the questions to the end, if you don't mind? Sorry, we should have said that.
We should have said that, yeah.
Leave them to the end.
At the end,
for the sake of the audio verse recording.
Yeah. It was not God's purpose that his people should be crowded into cities. And sorry, by the way, I think this is probably the longest quote that we've got, so don't worry. It's not God's purpose that his people should be crowded into cities, huddled together in terraces and tenements. In the beginning, placed our first parents in a garden amidst the beautiful sights and attractive sounds of nature. And these sights and sounds he desires men to rejoice in today. That's present tense. So that's for us. This is not some bygone thing. Well, that was okay in Bible times, but today we need to, or Ellen White's day or whatever, and today we need to do this, that, the other. No, this is from the Lord. So we're told, the more
nearly.
Excuse me. The more nearly we come into harmony with God's original plan, the more favorably we are positioned for the recovery and the preservation of health. And we can see this in a big way. Yeah.
Those who cultivated the soil were to realize that they were doing God's service. They were as truly in their lot and place as were the men appointed to minister in the priesthood and in the work and in work connected with the tabernacle.
Now just let that sink in a little bit. So if you're doing agriculture in God's eyes, what's he saying here? A, he's saying you're actually doing God's service. Normally, we would put God's service with a pastor. A pastor is doing God's service, something high up. But then he says, they were as truly in their lot and place as were the men appointed to minister in the priesthood and were connected with the tabernacle. That's the highest in earthly office, in God's.
Next to the mother, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, in God's kingdom. So this is how God views things. So straight away, for us, we had to align ourselves with what God is wanting for
us. And at the time, actually, in fact, we're going to go into this a little bit more this evening, but at the time, Robert had just completed a law degree. So, you know, it was, you know what I'm saying?
It's yeah. Some choices had to be made.
Choices, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. If with the word of God in your heart you go forth, cultivate the soil, you will find your heart softened and subdued by the Holy Spirit. Who needs Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit? I do. Well, this is a guaranteed. If we do what? With the word of God in your heart, you go forth and do what?
That's right.
And the result of that is the Holy Spirit. To me, this really spoke because I was like, am I reading this? Is this true? It is true. So it really encouraged us and got us forward. And this is the last quote that we're just going to read.
But that last quote, though, ties in a little bit with what Chad was saying yesterday.
Yesterday,
evening,
I was thinking about that.
About the caffeine and the coffee. It's like, okay, yeah, there may be some benefits. You know, there may be benefits. You know, you're going to get a fat paycheck if you're a lawyer and you're working in the city.
Yeah, that's a benefit.
You know, but how is that affecting your spiritual walk? You see? And so here we go again with agriculture. Okay, some people may argue with this, but, you know, at the end of the day, the Lord says what he says. And the more that we work the soil, we've got our hands in the dirt, you know, the Holy Spirit, we get more of that. And so we have more self-control. And as the latter rain comes, you know, we're going to be in a good position, hopefully, you know, if we're doing what God asks us to do.
So many do not see the importance of having land to cultivate and of raising fruit and vegetables, and their tables may be supplied with these things. I am instructed to say to every family and every church, God will bless you when you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, fearing lest by unwise treatment of the body, you will mar the Lord's plan for you. Now, not to get in too deep, we're not trying to, but she is linking agriculture with salvation for whatever the reason is. I'm not trying to get into it deep, but it's very important here. Okay, so that got us interested. And so how did we start? Well, now, just so that you know, our background, we don't come from a background of owning land or owning a property or anything like that. So,
and we still don't.
And we still don't.
At this present time.
No. Our whole time being in the country, we've been in rented properties. Now, that's important because I know sometimes when we've given this presentation in the past and some of the pictures, people assume that when they see a house, oh, that's the Sullivans, they bought their house. Oh, that tractor, that's the Sullivan.
We've had people come to us and saying, oh, what tractor do you have? And we're like, no, that's not our tractor.
No, but we'll give you the backdrop. So what happened was when we started our journey as such, a couple of years ago, the property that we were at, it came with
3 acres.
Yeah, of which 1 acre was an actual field.
It was a paddock.
So it was used for horses or ponies.
Previously.
But the owners, they weren't doing anything like that with it, and they had moved. So we came in and rented. And at the time, we had just finished, this is just a couple of years ago, we had just actually, after praying, we had just finished listening to an Ad Agra presentations that were on Audioverse.
We're going to a bit more detail this evening, yeah. but we're yeah. just giving you, you know.
And so we asked the landlord, we said, oh, that field, can we do something with it? Can we grow on it? And he said yes. Anyway, there's a whole testimony on that. But he said yes. And so we got in it was full of what we call dock plants, which are weeds. I don't know if you got those over here. But anyway, it was full of weeds. And so we had to get a contract farmer in to come. And first of all, he flailed, which is he mows all the grass down as much as you can. And then he came and ploughed, which is what he's doing here. And then after that, he power harrowed, which is like rotavating. Yeah. He then rotavated.
But just to set the scene here, because we had no experience and we'd never farmed before, when we got the field, it was sometime in October or November, we went out into this field and we saw these like
dock plants.
Dried dock plants that were growing, and very zealously we went out there pulling them out and putting them into a bin.
Trying to pull them out by the
root. The field, picking them up and putting them into the bin. And we had all the children helping us, and we felt like we were really doing a great job. Only until the farmer came and we explained to him what we were doing, and he said, that makes no sense at all, he said, because those dock plants, they would have spread their seeds way in the summertime. He said, what you were pulling out there was just the leftovers. We were like, oh.
Yeah.
We didn't even know. We had absolutely no clue.
And these particular ones, I don't know, it's something like about 10,000 or something crazy.
10,000 seeds per stalk or whatever.
So it was pointless pulling out the stalk. Got 10,000. Yeah, but we were keen, and I think that was the point.
And can I just add another thing? Furthermore, if you could just go back in the slide.
Yeah.
We actually didn't even have the money to pay the contractor. He was charging us a certain figure, whatever it is.
200 and something pounds.
Yeah, per hour, and we didn't actually have the money. What happened this particular year, actually, is that it had been raining and raining and raining. And we had asked him earlier in the spring when it was quite dry, but because he's a contract tractor, he goes out and does all of the other farmers' fields. And imagine, this is just 1 acre, and he's got hundreds of acres to do. So he kind of left us till last. And by then, the ground was very, very wet. And so he had to then wait for the rain to die down and for the ground to dry. And it was just going on and on and on, and weeks and weeks and weeks were passing. That by the time we thought that he might come, we then realized we don't even have the money to pay him. So we said to each other, we discussed it, and then we said, we're going to have to just call him and just call it off and just tell him,
don't bother coming.
That same morning, like minutes later, we heard his tractor coming up the track. And we were like, no, now what are we going to do? And he's like, hey guys, where is it over here? And we were like, yeah. And so he went out and he did the work. And we were just obviously very nervous about what we were going to do. So we just got, I said to you, do you remember? I said, what are we going to do? And he said, we'll just have to do what we always do. Let's just get on our knees and pray. So we got on our knees and we prayed. We're like, Lord, how are we going to pay this guy? Then the postman came. When the postman came, I opened up this envelope and there was a check inside. And it was from the bank. Apparently, it was some strange technicality that occurred. And apparently, they'd overcharged me for something. And the money that they had sent me, they said, sorry, we overcharged you for this and this and this, and so we are refunding you this figure. It was the figure to pay the tractor man plus tithe.
Exactly.
Yeah? Plus tithe. Yeah.
That's the God that we serve.
Yeah.
That's the God that we serve. Yeah. Timing's always right. Literally.
So that,
and it's no exaggeration.
That was confirmation.
He was actually in the field.
Yeah.
He was in the field ploughing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And thankfully, he didn't want paying that moment.
Yeah,
so,
but we had the money.
He said, you know, because we had to obviously cash that check, and then we had to go and give him the money. Yeah.
So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And the thing is, and I hope we get this, but I'm just going to say it anyway, but I think it will come through. The journey is a faith journey of trusting God. In the garden, God wants you to have trust in him fully. Because like when you're at work, whatever your work is that you do, if we're honest, we're in control of ourselves.
Most of the time.
Most of our times and our own abilities. You know, we can come, we can go, we make things happen. In the garden, you have to rely fully on God. Seriously. And that's how he wants it. That's how he wants it. Anyway, so... Yeah, I mean, I showed this picture because what did we know about gardening? We really knew nothing, as I said. And so we had this acre patch, and here we were. We went down to a local supermarket, which we call Tesco's.
I don't know if it's... I suppose it's like your Walmart or whatever.
Whatever.
You bought, what, 8 bags? Or is that, what's that, 4, 8, 12 bags of...
Yeah. Which for us, this was a lot. We were like, wow, we're ready, you know. You know, we're going to do this farming thing. And we did buy some seeds. And, you know, how did we choose them? I don't really know. Okay. So now I think, actually, we're going to show, I'm just looking, there's going to be a picture here. But why this is interesting, because in here, as you can see, we bought... tomato seeds, but we didn't have anywhere to physically grow them, or even to germinate. Let's go back to actually germinate the seeds. So we seeded up trays on our...
Each tray would be in like 104 plants.
Yeah, and we seeded that up in our dining room.
Yeah.
And just had them on the table. And I remember saying to you, I was like, well, this room is actually quite a sunny room. It does get a bit of sun. And so I was imagining that
it would be like, I don't know, some sort of growing room?
Yeah, and that they would just really grow really well. But all that happened was we had just these leggy...
Does the picture show it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's one that's going to be coming. So I'm just kind of pre-showing, so when you see that, you'll remember. So all of our seeds, the majority of these seeds that are actually here... probably about 90-odd% of them we lost because we didn't know, but we were keen, we were eager to do something.
The
sun.
They were very long.
Yeah, but we were keen, we were eager, and so and I'm showing this, and I'm just going to explain. So, what did we do? We did lots of experiments.
We did lots of research.
We did lots of YouTube. We did lots of books.
Reading.
We bought lots of books. For example, we had all of the Elliot Coleman books on growing, winter growing, and four-season growing.
Curtis Stone,
John Martin Fortier. We looked at lots of stuff. But something that we note, well, actually, we'll explain here. So what we did notice was that most people who are growing, you know, who look like they're doing something...
Really
they have a tunnel. And so we said,
we need a tunnel.
We need a tunnel. We must get a tunnel. And so
I think it was on YouTube that we saw Curtis Stone.
Yeah.
Was interviewing a gentleman that had all...
He had like an acre or so of these tunnels.
Made with conduit?
Yeah, plastic conduit and covered, which you can see so we were like, well, we don't have a lot of money. So these plastic conduit, they were really cheap. Pound or two per hoop. So we were like, well, we could do that.
Yeah, we could do that.
We could do that. We could get going. And so we did. And it's funny, actually. The funny thing is, a guy came around from church who does a bit of growing. And do you remember?
Jimmy. Oh,
yeah, Jimmy. He came around. And I remember him sort of looking. But he never said anything. He just looked. And I should have actually known that something was wrong. Yeah, something was wrong. But we didn't know. So so we put this up, and this looked really good. Now, what we didn't realize is that context is everything. And so when you're looking at YouTube videos and this, that, the other...
even if somebody has something like this, 100 tunnels, and they've made 100,000 in their first season...
Yeah, it's all context.
It doesn't necessarily mean that would be the case for
you. Yeah, and so... For us in Scotland, and we have strong winds. We have a lot of wind. And so what happened is the day that we put this up, it was not windy. So we were fine. And then like the next day, it was like when the wind and the tunnel just, it just collapsed on us. And so we...
Even putting this up, there's an electric pylon behind.
Yeah.
And when we first went to put it up, the plastic, it flew into the air and it was heading towards the electric pylon.
Yeah.
We must have looked I don't know what the neighbours were
thinking. Yeah. But it did look good.
And it didn't, felt nice inside. It was
yeah, warm. It was really warm inside, but we didn't get to grow anything in here. So again, it's context. But again, the Lord was teaching us, you know, perseverance.
That was definitely a character trait that we...
Just because you try one thing and supposedly it fails, you know, do we stop? No, we pick ourselves up and we keep going. And to be honest, it's about attitude. So what happened was we did a little bit more research. And the first thing we said was that because we're so windy here, we would need, I'll call these hoops. We would need hoops that are much stronger. And so we decided that we would need something like metal, you know, some sort of galvanized metal. And that would actually work for us. So, yeah, I was just looking at...
2017.
Yeah, so...
And the date's around the other way, so that's
yeah,
the
30th of March. Yeah, so these are the trays that we were using. And these are just standard trays...
that we get.
That we get, but they're similar to... I think you get the 10,
10
20s.
10, 20
yeah, they're very, very similar. But as I said, we were just doing all of this inside. We hadn't really worked out
no
things.
Plants.
Yeah. And it really did, they went really leggy and then that was it, we lost them. But that was, I have to admit, that was a bit disheartening because it was a lot of work just to get to that step. It doesn't seem like much, but when you're just on a journey and you're trying to do something the Lord's way, you and you're praying and, you know, and then...
Yeah, you see how they're very, very thin and reaching
yeah.
for the light?
Yeah,
the patio?
Yeah. If you've grown and you're in a proper greenhouse, you know, these would have been not that big. They would have probably been here before their true leaves come out.
Would have been closer to the ground.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we didn't know anything to do with that. So because
we pressed on,
it didn't deter us. And so what did we have? We had some strawberry plants. We also had the squash. Do you call it the squash or zucchini? No, what do you call
courgettes.
It? Courgettes. Zucchini?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had those plants. They were actually very, very hardy. So because we were very weedy, we use a lot of weed control fabric. So that's what we could get readily available, meter strips by our, again, just to give you context, our growing beds were all 30 inch width and our bed was 100 foot length. So
which
that's what we were doing.
Standard that we had researched and found.
Yeah, I mean, we've changed now. Now we've got 1 meter. And,
that's
I'm working in meters.
Yeah.
Can't remember the feet. 3 feet?
3 feet.
2 point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
that's because we've now moved towards a compact tractor because our context has changed slightly. So now our bed size is the width of the implements on the tractor,
yeah,
just to make things easy for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. But in this context, we were, as I said, because the ground was very, very weedy, we were using the weed control fabric, which if you've used, you'll know it does the job. Again.
Because we're so weedy, we learn also that the, as you can see there, what, 30 inch width or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then we realised actually we needed to kind of double that
mm.
because then the weeds
for the
will
pathway.
Grow up in the middle and then you can't pull the weed control fabric out because the grass has come over and it's, you know, it just makes it hard, really hard.
Yeah.
So you, kind of live, you learn as you're going along.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, so a lot of this, a lot of the books that we were reading, they would talk about the 30-inch bed, you know, 100 foot or even 50 foot and even 25 foot length. And again, depending on what your context was, ours were long enough that we could do that. But again, you don't have to. You know, you can start wherever you can. But this was tried and tested, so we decided that we would go with it. The other thing that we tried that did work with the because we bought so many of those plastic hoops. Remember, I was saying for the big thing that failed.
We thought we redesigned them.
Yeah, we said, well, we must be able to use them. And so we did what I think you guys called the low hoops,
quick hoops, low hoops,
whatever. Think they call this, which is just.
So we just stuck it in the ground and bent it over and stuck it in the other side.
Yeah. So it's over two beds, covering two beds, and then you just put the plastic over. So again, it's a bit of protection, and
it
brings in a lot of heat.
Yeah,
a lot of heat. If you're in a climate that's moderately cool or even cold, the quick hoops are really, really good. I think I did. Huh? I think there's a picture.
Yeah.
That was when we were young, the strawberries and the courgettes.
Yeah. Now, I put this picture here because obviously this was the first time we grew strawberries. And again, we hadn't really researched, but I just assumed that strawberries need covering and they need lots of heat, which they don't. But they were under the quick hoop, and they actually did well, even though, I don't know if you can see there. I can't really see. Yeah, it's 40 here, but we used to get it off the, so over 50.
Over 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
What would
the outside temperature be? What, 20 maximum?
18? In Scotland, the summer doesn't normally get more than about 20, 22. Yeah. If it gets to be around.
And this wasn't in the height of summer anyway. So that's hot. That's really hot.
The summers are very cool. Yeah.
So what it showed us now, okay, so let me just backtrack. So what happens is, and the Lord is really interesting how he orchestrates things. So what happened was, one of the days that we actually went to the equivalent of, well, we call it B&Q, but it's like your Home Depot.
Yeah.
So one of these sort of maintenance-y type, whatever. We went in there, can't remember what we were getting, and we bumped into this guy.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because
he was working in there.
I can't remember what we were after. We were after some sort of hoop type something. And one of the workers, the staff, he came up to us and he said, oh, he said, what do you need it for?
And we didn't want to tell
him. We didn't want to tell him because
people that we'd spoken to about market gardening, they were very discouraging in Scotland. Oh, you're not going to grow.
You're not going to grow. That won't work. It will never grow here. You know what?
Let's just leave it. Just keep it to ourselves. We'll just grow it and then they'll see.
Yeah. Not in a bad way, but sort of like because you get so much stick and it's like, well, we haven't grown yet, so let's not.
Yeah.
You know.
When the guy asked us, we
were like,
very reluctantly we told him.
and then he was like, oh, really? He said, yeah, I know, because it was actually for quick hoops. And he said, yeah, I know about that. He said, actually,
we've done a lot of experiments.
Yeah, he said he used to work for this university doing agricultural experiments in Scotland. And then he was like, yeah, we grew corn and this and that.
We were like, what? We couldn't believe it. It was very encouraging.
Very, like, wow, very Scotland. Encouraging.
Yeah.
In Scotland.
Yeah.
In Scotland.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that was really encouraging. So that, well, and then, as I said, then afterwards, then we noticed the temperatures here.
It's because they were using tunnels and they were just experimenting on what they could do within these tunnels.
Yeah. So again,
it got so warm that what we had to do in the end is we had to go, Robert went and slashed the plastic to try and let some of the heat out. And because it was on a slight slope and obviously heat rises, we slashed more at the top so some of the heat could escape.
Yeah, and the reason why we did that was because it was for our context, it was too labor intensive to be taking off these sandbags. Mm-hmm. You'd be there, you know, every 2 minutes, you know, taking them off, it cools down, putting them back, taking them off. So we were like, you know what, we have to find some other sort of ingenious way because the sun is really, really good, you know. But again, it gave us encouragement for what the possibilities could be. And that's something that I would say, and again, all context, but if God has asked us to do something, which he has, then don't worry about what men may say. Because you do get a lot of naysayers and people who are quite discouraging. Maybe you haven't had that, but we have had that. And especially from local farmers, you know, I mean, sort of forget it.
They do scoff at what we're doing, but...
Yeah, we just carry on. Mm. Yeah, okay. So this was just some of the, what is this? You call it zucchini. Yeah, zucchini flowers. They did really well, actually. And if you've grown them, you'll know they're very... we didn't know it at the time, but they're very prolific. You know, once they start setting their fruit, you start picking them, they just keep coming. And if you don't pick them, then they grow into big monstrosities. They grow into marrows. We had ours. And again, this is all standard stuff. We would, I think they were spaced every sort of 24 inches or something like 2 foot. or something like that. So nothing, you know, out of the ordinary, just standard stuff. We did lose some of them. I think that was due to we didn't water enough on some of them because of the heat.
And actually, we lost some of them at the very beginning because slugs ate them. We have a huge slug issue in Scotland. It's massive. Mm. Like, we have lost so much produce to slugs. Even in the new field that we're in now, we put out about 1,000 pumpkins, and we lost every single one of them within 24 hours of putting them out.
Yeah, every single one of them.
It's a huge
and the
problem.
Plants were good plants when they went out into the ground.
Yeah.
Good size.
So we haven't managed to grow pumpkin yet because of the slug issue. And they had eaten our squash.
Mm.
And it can be very discouraging when you see that, and especially when you're very new to farming.
Mm.
But then Robert was like, well, let's just leave them and see what happens. And they actually grew back.
Mm.
So that was just the mercy of the Lord.
Yeah.
He allowed them to grow back, and this is them.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that we tend to do quite a lot is that whatever besetment or looks like a besetment, we just take it to the Lord. We're just on our knees. Lord, we don't have the answers, but you have the answers. You instruct us and teach us in the ways that we should go. You know, you're there. You have the wisdom. Give us wisdom. We're constantly asking him. So so even though we do have these besetments, it doesn't completely derail us or anything like that. Unless the Lord says to make a change, which he hasn't. Yeah, so, but that was a small, they did go a lot bigger. I mean, I like this picture because, again, it wasn't all plain sailing. I mean, a lot of times, you know, especially if you're on social media or Instagram and you see pictures of people's gardens,
they're beautiful.
They're quite manicured and quite nice. That's not us. Well, we're not there. We're not there yet. We are actually encouraged to have neat gardens. But we're still at the stage where we're trying to figure things out
and we're still fighting,
get systems in place,
still
and so
with the enemy, weeds.
Yeah. So we have weeds, and we have to battle with that. But we did have a really good harvest, and I have to show this picture because this particular variety of for us anyway, to get strawberries, we had never grown them before. I think they were El Santa.
I think so. Yeah.
El Santa variety, and they were just
the best strawberries we'd ever eaten.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. These were grown in the ground, as you've seen before. Now, in Scotland, because of the climate, is really, really good for berries. Mm-hmm. Strawberries and blueberries, raspberries, whatever. The climate is really good. And so the berry farmers, the commercial berry farmers, all of them, they grow their things above the ground. I don't know if you've seen them, and they're in sort of like these long trays. That's how they grow them. They do that in Florida.
They grow them in Florida.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's easier as well for the workers harvesting because it's not backbreaking. You don't have to bend down. They just walk along and pick them.
But there's something about the soil. When things are grown in the soil, the taste, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but the taste is that much better. And so that's what we found anyway. So we were growing not just for ourselves, which was good, but we were constantly looking at ways we could try and have this as a living as well. And so when we did get we finally got the tunnel up. You can see, I think we've got some other pictures anyway.
This is with the metal poles.
This is with the metal poles. And so now when the winds and the storms come, it stays up. And so now we were able to get our, we were able to, just in these trays here, you can see now where the it's just above the ground, so they're not leggy. Everything is nice, as it should be. And then from there, we'll be able to transplant those straight out into the ground. In this picture here, we were just putting out some potatoes. Now, the other thing just to say is that for ourselves, when we started on this agriculture endeavor, we decided that the principles that we would follow would be what I think you guys call it veganic growing. So we don't use any animal products, any cow manure, any blood, fish, feathers.
Whatever.
We don't put that in the ground. So everything that we put in the ground is just actually what comes out the ground. It's all plant-based. Or, as in the case with this this bag of minerals, is actually rock dust. It's rock dust, yeah, which is really good.
Rock dust, yeah.
And again, You can experiment. I mean, you know, there's no, from what I've seen, unless someone tells me different, I haven't seen anything in Spirit of Prophecy that specifically talks about organic or not organic or this, that, the other. I'm not sure that those details...
Might be there. We haven't read everything.
We haven't read everything. But again, that's something which, if you read and come across, then you can take that to the Lord.
But just as a side note, the actual tunnel, that tunnel there, again, we didn't have the money, hence buying the conduit, because that was affordable for us. And, you know, we were just constantly praying, because we can only go as far as what we have in our hands. And so whatever we had, we would just...
We use that.
And but what happened is... Robert's cousin's wife had come to visit us. Now, to understand, we had been in Scotland for over 10 years and we were very close with his cousins. And when we moved, we were crazy. And, you know, they said that, oh, you know, you guys are like Waco and all of this stuff. And, oh, you've got, you know, that was for Ellen White's time. And, you know, we just, and really, they just kind of left us and nobody visited us, which was very unusual because... We were always, you know, in and out of each other's houses when we lived down in the city. But after 10 whole years of nothing, all of a sudden we had a phone call from his cousin's wife to say she wanted to come and visit us. And so we were like, wow. In fact, we put the phone down. We would just look at each other.
Okay.
We were like, okay, this is strange. And she said, oh, I just want to learn a bit more about country living. And we were like,
okay.
Wow. Now, they are Adventist family members. And so she came and... She was really on a on a rediscovery journey, and
definitely.
She wanted to move to the countryside and everything. And we shared with her the things that we were doing. And when she, by the time she came to the end of her journey, she left, and she'd left us with a check of £2,000. And she said, "I can't do what you're doing." She said, "But I'd like to give this to you so that you guys can, you know, do a bit more."
Praise the Lord.
And that's how we bought the bits and bobs that we needed to make the tunnel.
To get that first tunnel up and going. So,
so
God
again,
is good.
It just demonstrates how God, he's there and he's helping, even if we don't have, you know, he keeps us moving.
Yeah.
And so here is Robert now bending.
If this will play, let's see.
We couldn't afford to buy a tunnel, so we had to make it ourselves.
Oh, the sound is there. Sorry. So again, I actually bought this bender from the States. I can't remember the name of the company, but they have it over here.
And we didn't have a, what's it called, a jig?
A jig or anything. So this was just the back of the car.
We had Land Rover Discovery, and so we, as you can see, he put the bender onto a piece of wood and then put another piece of wood there to lodge it in place so that we could have something redetermined.
Yeah. Well, you know, our way of thinking is, the Lord's got wisdom, and so if we're willing, you know, he just needs the hands. So if we're willing just to chip in, we don't have the, you know, these aren't our skills per se or what have you, but the job needs to be done, and we're willing to do whatever we need to do to get it done. And that was the result. So just again, sorry, 100 foot. We could have gone longer, but again, we just went the length of the bed. And it was about 12, I think 12 or 14 foot wide. I put 12 because I can't exactly remember.
Initially, we went with, what's this thing called in the middle? The rope?
Purlin, you guys call
so
it,
we
I think.
We went with a rope purlin, but then what we found later in the season is the hoop started to go like
still
this.
Still moving a little
so
bit.
So the whole tunnel was going like this. So we had to then put our thinking caps on, and we were like, okay, how can we somehow prevent this from happening? And so then... I don't know if we have a picture now, maybe later or tomorrow or one of the other things. We bought some scaffolding, the same pipe,
because they were 6 meters long.
Yeah, and then you have these, like, you connect it to this pipe, you run something through this pipe, which has a little hole, and you just...
All the way through,
and then you just bolt them on, and so now it's, like, literally...
It's rigid. It's not moving anywhere. It's not moving anywhere. It's as strong as an ox.
And again, this is just, we just had to think. You know, because we don't know anything.
Yeah.
So we're just like, there must be something. And so we went back onto the computer, went onto, what was it, eBay or whatever.
To look for some clamps.
At different metal clamps just to see, well, what would fit and what size would we need? And you just have to sort of figure it through. And we got there in the end.
But just to say again, because we don't want it to sound like we were trying to make all of this figuring out, before the figuring out, we were on our knees. Lord, you know what's going to work here. I don't know. You know what's going to work here. You know? Just give us the wisdom.
And at one point, he did take us to Farmer's Friend's website because...
Yeah, that was in the early days.
And at that time, Jonathan, he had...
He had the schematics.
Hmm. So Robert went and wrote them all down. It's like, okay, right. And so then we just bought bits and bobs. But there were some things that we just did differently. Like, we had tubing that went into the ground rather than whatever it is that John uses.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we made our own metal purlin back then.
Yeah.
Maybe he offers that now, I don't know. But
We
need it for our context.
Yeah. And then we're showing this because at that stage we were, one of the things we were doing, we're going to go into this in another presentation, but one of the things that we were growing was microgreens at the same time. Nothing major, we were just doing it in the tunnel. Later on, we started growing commercially inside the house. But anyway, but for now, this was just inside the tunnel. And because we had so much, we decided to label up and try and sell those as what we call here catering packs, which we were able to. We were able just to sell a few of them, not that many.
Not a lot to begin with.
No. But again, it gave us a little insight into, oh, okay, what could be possible? We were able to get that over to a cafe.
But that's for the microgreen.
Oh, yeah.
That's for the microgreen session.
Yeah. And these are just some of the other items, things that are quite familiar. We grew radish. Why do we grow radish? Because they're very, very easy to grow.
And quick,
about 35, 38 days in our context. Obviously, if you're warmer, probably about 30 days. And then we did blue vase kale, red Russian kale. Now, collard greens, you guys do the collards.
We only got that seed once.
We should have actually kept the seed.
But
we forgot.
Even the shops don't
We should
sell.
Buy some over here. Anyway, but it's hard to get. It's hard to get in the UK. You don't get it at all. But blue vates and red Russian kale, and we also did another kale, which was what's the other kale we did?
Siberian kale.
Siberian.
And it grew so big that when I picked it, like I could hold it like this, and it was coming over. It was like they were like umbrellas. They were really, I don't know why they were so big, but they were just really big.
Yeah, I think maybe we were feeding the land as well a lot. So they came out really ginormous. But again, you can grow these, actually the kale, let's talk about the kale. You can grow those as a baby leaf and have them as part of a salad mix. We didn't. We grew them as onto adults and then just bunched them. And then had those in a, is the picture here? Anyway, I'll show you here. Yeah. And then we had it included as a, what we call a veg box, which I think you guys would call a CSA. Yeah. Oh, veg box?
Yeah. We don't do CSAs because CSAs, I think you pay...
Somebody pays up front.
But we don't. You sell them by the box. If somebody wants a veg box, you just give them a veg box and that's it.
Yeah. So again, we weren't majoring on lots of items, just a few items. And at this stage, and let's be honest, at this stage, we weren't even really selling a lot.
No, we weren't.
You know, it was more the experience that we were getting. The experience was worth more than money.
It wasn't, at this point, it wasn't enough to keep us.
No.
And that's what then, when we realised and we balanced our books, we realised we were short financially each month.
Mm.
And we went on our knees and prayed. And that's what opened the door to the microgreen. So if you're coming to the microgreen session, you'll hear that
testimony. We'll go into a little bit more. Okay. But this is how the Lord got us going and got us started. Just to recap...
You can do take questions.
Okay. The question is, how many seasons are we growing?
At this point.
At this point, like when you started doing the veggie boxes, I just want to know how much experience you have.
This is really our first
season. Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
We had done some growing previously at a previous property, but it was more
experimental.
Just for fun, really.
Mm.
It was just under an acre that we were given, but we didn't really do very much with it.
No.
And then the landlord that had given us the land to work with, then he died, and then his son wanted the land back, so we never really got established there. So our full-blown experience, this would be the first season.
Yeah, and that other place, it is worth mentioning, was very experimental. For example, Like at the moment, we do dig, we do plow, we do rotivate at the other property. We were doing like a no dig.
Lasagna.
We did lasagna gardening. We were trying all different things.
Yeah, so it's more experimenting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you experiment a year, 2 years?
No. Not even just maybe a season before this.
If that.
So this is very, very basic. You know, very early on for us.
Yeah. No tunnel. This was the first
ever tunnel.
Yeah. Weed control fabric. This is all.
First time we'd ever used weed control fabric. The first time we'd ever plowed.
What year was that?
2017.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to rush through now.
Yeah. We're just. Okay. Now, one of the things that were you. As we were going through this, we would pray, obviously, quite a lot. But we had reached a period where, because the season was cracking on so quickly, I was like, oh.
I remember it was a very hot, sunny day. I say hot and sunny, it's probably about 22. And Robert had come in, and he'd sit. I must have been sitting in the bedroom, and he sat on the floor, he's leaning against the wall, and he said, "Have you asked the Lord to bless our farm recently?" And I sort of thought, no. And he said, "I think we should ask the Lord to bless our farm." And I was like, okay. So we did. We prayed. We said, "Ask the Lord to bless our farm." I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest with you. It was just a random prayer, really.
Random prayer, yeah. It wasn't anything specific, but we want the Lord's hand. Yeah.
About that, I don't know.
What happened was, though, I had a missed call.
Three missed calls.
Yeah.
I might add.
from the BBC. And after the three missed calls, and then they left a voice message, and they said...
I remember, because we were sitting at dinner on these three occasions, and his phone was ringing and ringing and ringing, and I said, "Aren't you going to answer that?" And he's like, "I'm eating." I was like, "Okay." And then the next day it happened, and I said, "Aren't you going to answer that?" And he's like, "But I'm eating." And so we didn't realise it was the BBC. And so when he did finally get the messages, like 3 days later or whatever, we called the guys back, and we realised it was the BBC. We called them back, and we said, "Oh, you called us?" And they said, "Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter now. It was that we just wanted to get in contact with you about a show that we were filming in Aberdeenshire, in your area, and we needed a couple of businesses or something." They really liked what they'd seen on the website about our farm, and they thought it would be really interesting since it's veganic, which is quite unusual, and they wanted to come and film, but the producers decided to go with somebody else because we didn't get back to them. So we were like, oh. So you can imagine the whole atmosphere in our home was just flat for like 24 hours. And I think you just sat there in that same spot in the bedroom, just sitting there like this. And I just sat there on the bed like this. And I was trying to maintain the spirit of Christ because I was thinking, why didn't he just answer the phone? So, you know.
So.
But it can happen to any of us.
It could happen. It could happen
to any of us.
Yeah. So anyway. So after I repented of my of my sins.
And I repented of my sins.
Yeah. No, I did. And I said to the Lord, "I'm really, really sorry. Really, I've got no excuse. I'm just really, really sorry." And then I said, "Well, look, if it is that these people coming to our farm, that your name can be glorified, make a way. Not because of us, but if it is to glorify your name, make a way.
If it's just going to boost
if
our
it's
pride,
just a then no." And we actually said that. But if it's just a nothing, then don't bother. We've missed it. Don't worry. But if your name can be glorified, then do something. And we prayed. When we prayed, we quoted this quote.
We use this a lot, this one. We love this quote.
We love this. Yeah, give this back to the Lord.
"The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will."
In other words...
I can turn the heart of the producer. Come on now. This is just like nothing.
It's not a problem.
So we prayed and we said, you know...
You've got this, Lord. If it is for you, you've got this. We don't have to worry.
So we went to bed and we woke up. First thing the next morning, the phone rang. And this time, he answered.
And guess who it was?
It was the BBC producer. And he said, actually, it was the executive producer that was working with the producer. And he said, I've spoken to the producer, and actually, he still wants to film you. So if it's okay with you, could we go ahead and do this? We were like, absolutely.
Come round.
And so we went through the whole process.
Do you have
the picture?
Yeah.
And so here they are. This is this is the BBC crew in our very weedy garden, weedy farm.
And it was really interesting because, as I said, everyone wants to know, what are you guys doing in Scotland? You know, what brought you to Scotland? You know, you've got a large family. So again, we were like the doors wide open to share our testimony of how the Lord has brought us from where we were to here now. And it's it's hard to explain.
What?
You don't have to hold back.
Yeah.
Because this is a situation where people are genuinely interested in what brings you here. Mm-hmm. What makes you tick? You know, we were going all out. Ellen White quotes. It was like, we were, and they were making notes. It was, yeah. Not like we were like crazy people, but because this is the journey. So, you know, people were really, really encouraged.
And what was really sweet to hear is right at the end, when they finished filming with us, they said, you know what, guys? We really enjoyed filming with you. They said that a lot of people that we film with, the lady, she was just a nightmare. She said, they're such a headache.
Mm.
She said, but it was just such a breath of fresh air.
Just peaceful.
And we were just like, oh,
yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. We're just, yeah. So,
Did this get produced?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Can't remember which episode, but it's on.
This evening I have a screenshot of the episode and everything.
Yeah.
It went out to Europe. We had some friends in the Netherlands that called us and said they'd watched it. And then I think went out to Australia, to the US and to the UK. And I think they ran it about 3 or 4 times over a period of a couple of years.
Yeah, because what we've realized is, and we're going to go into this in another presentation, is that we're just seeing a glimpse, a picture of what God can do and what he wants for his people. So when God says that, you know, he wants us to be the head, there's different ways we kind of view that. But we've got to look through God's eyes when he says head. What does he mean? It doesn't mean, you know, not to say that isn't, you know, but I'm just saying it doesn't mean like the head of a big corporate company. Not to say there's anything wrong with a corporate company. But do you understand what I'm saying? His head is different. It's different. But he's going to take you places and have you be exposed to people who normally you wouldn't get the opportunity
to be exposed to.
And it's all through the garden. It's all through agriculture. We can see that 100%. Mm-hmm. And as far as we've seen in our testimony, it can be different for you guys. You don't need experience. What's that? His biddings.
His biddings are enablings.
Yeah.
So if he bids us come into the farm or into the garden and make that your occupation, he'll enable you.
He'll enable. Yeah. We just need to be willing. That's all. We just need to be willing.
And it's great for the children, of course, as you can see.
yeah, they love it. They
were sliding. That's like a snow sledge. And they were pulling each other around on the dirt.
Yeah. So let's just, as we're just wrapping up now, these are just some of the promises that we found really encouraging. Because at the end of the day, and this is really what it's all about, we need to be in a place where we trust God implicitly. Is it implicitly? I think it is. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
No wavering.
You
it
know?
It can be scary at times. I feel as if we've been on a roller coaster ride at times.
Yeah.
And I just hold on for the ride.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've learned through all of this as well, or learning, I'm not there yet, but still learning, is to be submissive and allow the husband to lead.
Mm.
And I find that it's so much easier if you're a wife and your husband wants to farm.
Mm.
Just let him do what he's doing.
Mm.
Just hold on. And, you know, you know that God is leading
through his order.
Things. Mm. So and we have to trust. When we submit, we're actually trusting God to take us through this. Because, you know, there's been times when I'm sure I'd be like, oh, why don't we just go back and get the job that we had before? It's so much easier, you know.
Oh, dearie me.
But no, we just allow the Lord to lead and,
yeah,
you know, take us places.
That's right. So very quickly, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? In other words, God doesn't lie. He can't lie. So if he says something in his word, we can take that to the bank. We actually can. We can actually depend on it with our lives. That's how we've got to see it. So if God has asked us to come to the country, he's asked us. If he's asked us, it means he will enable us. We don't have to worry about what our present situation is. If he's asked us to farm, he will enable. Don't worry if you don't have land. Don't worry that you don't have a tractor. Don't worry that you don't have a property. Don't worry that you don't have a job.
We never had any of these.
It's not his concern. He just needs willing hands. Willing hands, willing hearts. Philippians 4:9. But my God shall supply all of our needs. We quote this like it's going out of style. Because we have needs. And we're just like, Lord, well, you said.
Yeah, you brought us here. Come on, Lord.
If you didn't say it, we wouldn't quote it. But seeing as you've said it, now. And it's not, we're not trying to sort of hang him at, you know, he's got to supply. No, we're just, you said.
Pray back to him his promises.
Matthew 18:19. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. So in other words, for the glory of God, he will do it. For the glory of God. I mean, we get the blessing, but it's for the glory of God. So again, it's a done deal.
Can I just add, Philippians 4:19, I was once reading an Ellen White quote, and in fact I should find it and really put it up here as well. But where it says, but my God shall supply all your need, she says in there, if your need is riches, he'll supply it. But if your need is poverty, he will also supply it.
Amen.
It's and deep. That was really deep. I thought, we always feel that success comes with bags and bags of money, etc., etc. But this is not about worldly success. This is about following the Lord and going along that journey and that path that he sees is needful for ourselves. If we need poverty, be sure he'll bring it.
And we've had it.
Because it
we've
may... It
no, seriously.
It may be needed.
We've had it.
It may be needed for your character.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, help us. John 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, whatsoever, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, these are promises. You want to be on your knees as the situations come up, or as you're preempting a situation. Well, Lord, clearly now I've got to leave my job. These things are going to come in. Okay, this is the last quote. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet.
Seems like we've gone over a little bit, so I don't think we're going to have time for questions right now. But you can find us in Scotland.
Yeah, just before you go, I hope everybody found that of interest, I hope. I think we'll just end just quickly in a word of prayer, just very quick. We'll just say a word of prayer and then we can go.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we've had the opportunity to share today. And we do pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of the attendees today. And that you will speak to them and help them to know what it is that you would have them to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.